Welcome to the Hustle Sanely podcast, a show where we are breaking up with unhealthy hustle culture and redefining what it means to be productive. I'm your host and new productivity BFF, Jess Massey. Around here, we believe that productivity is so much more than just checking a million things off of a never-ending to-do list. I am obsessed with teaching you how to prioritize your mental health and the important relationships in your life while you pursue your goals. I'm here to help you ditch that feeling of constant overwhelm and cultivate an intentional life by getting your mindset right, getting clear on your vision, and creating a schedule that aligns with your actual priorities. If you want to learn how to live a peacefully productive life, then you're going to want to stick around. Let's get into today's episode. Hi, Hustle Sanely Squad, and welcome back to the podcast. I am so happy that you're here and that you decided to click play on this episode. I got the idea for this episode because almost every time that I post a story and my house is in the background, like outside of my office, so like our living room, dining room, kitchen, Everly's room, blah, blah, blah. You get it. But almost any time that I post a story of my house in the background, people DM me and ask how our home looks so tidy all the time. But let me tell you one thing straight up. We have a junk drawer and we have a couple junk closets like anybody else, okay? But for the most part, our home really is tidy because clutter and messes and my anxiety, they don't mix well. And I know that about myself. Do y'all know that episode of Friends where Monica can't sleep because there's like a shoe or something laying in the middle of her living room floor? That was me as a child. Like, she was just like laying there thinking about how that shoe is out of place and she like cannot go to sleep. That was actually me as a kid. I'm not as intense about it these days, but it really is important for me to maintain a tidy home to help keep my anxiety at bay. I also don't want to spend the majority of my time and energy cleaning or thinking about what needs to be done around the house. So I do a few things to help me manage our home with minimal effort. But before we get into what I do to make my home manageable to maintain, I think we need to do a little podcast giveaway because it's been a minute since we've done one. So I do these every once in a while on the show as a way to thank y'all for listening and supporting. If you haven't already, I would really, really appreciate it if you left a raving review on Apple Podcasts. We have a goal, we being me, have a goal of hitting 1,000 reviews by October 1st. And I think we're like 130 away, which is so crazy. We are so close, y'all. So close. And we have June, July, August, September. We have like 4 months to make this happen. It's kind of a stretch, but I think that together we can make it happen. But anyway, when I do these giveaways, I pick a recent review. So you never know. Leaving a review could make my day, but it could also win you a really cool prize here on the show. So here is the reviewer who I want to send a little thank you to this time. The name of the review is Jacqueline H, or the name of the reviewer, and the name of the review, the title of the review, is Hope Giver. And the review says, a few years back when a friend posted a picture of the daily planning notepad, I found Jess on Instagram. I'm so glad I did because her podcast, courses, and paper planning products have completely changed my life. Not to sound dramatic, but there were many times I just didn't feel like I could truly have it all. Jess and her company, Hustle Sanely, truly give people hope that they can achieve their goals without sacrificing their mental health and important relationships. Thank you, Jess, for your incredible podcast and always showing up with immense value. I have shared the Hustle Sanely podcast with my mom, my friends, and coworkers. I really believe it's a game changer. This podcast is transforming lives. Okay, I literally have goosebumps and tears in my eyes right now. Thank you so much, Jacqueline. I literally wish I could give you a hug through this screen. You have no idea how much you sharing the podcast with your people helps the show grow. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Jacqueline, send me an email to jess@jessicamassey.com with the subject podcast giveaway winner episode 182 so I can send you a $50 Starbucks gift card as a little thank you. I appreciate y'all so much. Okay, and now let's get to it. The things that I do to make my home manageable to maintain. But first, I want to talk about what it means to have a home that is manageable to maintain. I truly think it's going to be different for everyone. Having a home that is manageable to maintain to me doesn't mean that my house is perfectly aesthetic or that it doesn't look lived in. Yes, those houses are really, really pretty to look at on Instagram and Zillow, but a house like that isn't conducive or realistic for my season of life, and I'm okay with that. A home that is manageable to maintain for me in this season is a home that is mostly visually clutter-free, meaning that nothing random is kind of laying around on the counters, the tables. There aren't dishes in the sink. There's not laundry laying around. This is important to me because I want my home to feel cozy and inviting and to promote a sense of peace. I'm fine if we have some dust on the baseboards or a few milk spots on the floor sometimes, you know, baby problems. I don't obsess over that kind of stuff because I have determined that in this season, I just don't care. If I cared about every little spot on the floor with a baby and two big dogs, I would be scrubbing the floor all day, every day. And that's just not how I want to spend my time right now or ever, to be honest. So that is the first thing that I recommend that you do. Figure out what's important to you in a manageable home. Like, define what a manageable home is. Maybe you don't mind if you have a laundry basket full of clothes sitting on your living room floor. Cool. I love that for you. It's important for us to know what matters to us. Otherwise, we might accidentally be striving for someone else's version of a manageable home. You know what I mean? So once you do that, once you decide what a manageable home looks like for you, then the rest of this stuff might be helpful. So the way that I'm going to lay out this episode, I'm going to share five things that I do to help keep my home manageable to maintain. So I'm going to share what the thing is that I do and how I do it in hopes that it like gets your wheels turning and gives you some ideas. So the first thing that I want to share is have an outgoing system in place. So for me, this looks like doing a quarterly declutter. Once a quarter, usually in January, April, July, and October, I spend a day decluttering all the closets and drawers in our home. This is just a routine that is built into my life at this point. And since I do it once a quarter, it doesn't ever feel like too daunting or like too big of an undertaking. It's just maintenance at that point. So I used to do this every month, but I switched to quarterly because it winds up aligning closely to the seasons shifting, like the actual seasons outside. So I can put away stuff that we don't need for a while. So like when I do this in April, I move all of our jackets to the back of our closets because we are not going to be needing those for a good minute here in Florida. We only really need them for like 2 months of the year anyways. But when I was doing this monthly, I found myself skipping it sometimes because I didn't think that it was worth it since I felt like I had just done it, right? Like it just doing it every single month, it just like felt like I was overdoing it. But the quarterly declutter, it feels really good to me. So the reason that I prioritize a quarterly declutter is to keep the amount of stuff in our home under control. It's a lot easier to manage a home with less stuff in it. That just makes sense, right? Like nobody can argue with that. There's less to pick up when there's less, period, right? It just makes sense, like I said. Plus, I start to feel claustrophobic if I know that my house is full of stuff that we don't actually need or use. I have been like that since I was a little girl. Clutter really is a trigger for my anxiety. So having a routine built into my life that keeps the amount of stuff in our home under control is a must for keeping my home manageable. So what I do, because I know that y'all love a concrete example, I have trash bags ready to go, one for actual trash and one for donations. I like to go room by room. So I pick a room and I start with the closet first. I create three piles. The first two are donate and trash. I like to put the stuff on the ground rather than in the bags because I can go faster. I don't like having to pause to put stuff in the bags every time I'm getting rid of something. The third pile I call a rehoming pile. So it's stuff that I'm giving to family or friends, whether it's books that people have asked to borrow or bowls that we brought home leftovers in from a family dinner that I need to return, that kind of stuff. So I'll explain what I do with the stuff in this pile in tip three. So hang tight. So that's what I do. I go through the closets and I put everything in one of those three piles, like everything that we're getting rid of. Then I do the same thing with the stuff in the drawers and stuff on the shelves in each room. I put stuff in one of those three piles that we're not keeping. So like anything that we're getting rid of, it goes in the trash pile, the donate pile, or the rehome pile, right? I want to point out, I count our hallway closets as one room. I'm putting that in air quotes. And I just do them all together. We have three hall closets, two smaller ones and a larger one. I would say doing this usually takes me 2 to 3 hours a quarter. And it's nice because not only am I getting rid of stuff we don't use or need anymore, but it's also an opportunity to reorganize our closets and drawers because they get a little bit messy because we're using them every day, right? So decide what type of regular outgoing system works well for you, whether it's monthly, quarterly, or yearly, like a declutter or something else, and make it a priority to do that so that you can manage the amount of stuff in your home. Because remember, less stuff is easier to maintain. So that is my first tip. Tip number two is, and it goes right along with it, have an incoming system in place. So we just talked about an outgoing system. So obviously I'm going to mention an incoming system next to help keep our home manageable to maintain. I have an incoming system to audit and organize what is coming into our house. Now, this system isn't as concrete as the outgoing system because things come into our home in many different ways. So I have a few regular incoming stuff routines that I'm going to share with you, but know that I'm always adding to this list as new types of things come in. So one that I want to share that's like a regular incoming thing is mail. I'm usually the one to check the mail at our house. So what I do is as soon as I walk in from checking it, I sort it. I toss the junk mail in the trash, put any packages that need to be opened in my office because let's be real, I'm really the only one who gets packages. Adam is not much of an online shopper. And then mail that needs to be dealt with, so like a bill or something like that, I put it on this little round rattan placemat that is on the corner of our kitchen counter. That way it's easy to see where our mail is that needs attention and nothing gets lost in the shuffle. So about once a week or so, Adam will go through that pile and make any phone calls or anything required to take care of that pile. So like, for example, we got a bill for Everly's ambulance ride when she had to go from the birth center to the NICU. And the bill was incorrect because there was like an issue with insurance, blah, blah, blah. So Adam had to call and like get that fixed. So I left that piece of mail on the counter in that spot so he knew that it needed to be taken care of. So that is what we do with mail. And then another thing that is like a regular incoming thing is clothes. So I have a rule for myself when it comes to incoming clothes because for me, this is an area that can get out of hand fairly quickly if I don't stay on top of managing it. And by that, I mean my closet gets real cluttered real fast if I'm not intentional. So my rule of thumb, if I bring something into my closet, I have to get rid of something. So if I buy a new workout top, I need to get rid of an old one. Or if there's not a workout top I want to get rid of, I have to pick a piece of some other clothing and get rid of it. This really helps me to be more mindful when I'm buying stuff too, which is a bonus because I'm like, shoot, do I want this bad enough to get rid of something else in my closet? So yes, I do, just so you guys know, I do this one in, one out thing outside of my quarterly declutter. And in the next tip, I'll be sharing how I kind of do these two things together because I'm technically getting rid of stuff in my closet even when I'm not doing my quarterly declutter. So I'll explain that more in just a second. But those are two of the incoming systems that I use the most, mail and clothes. But like I said, this is always evolving. So like when Everly starts school, I'm sure I'll create a system to manage her incoming school stuff like paperwork, crafts, things like that. But my advice is to make note of the types of things that frequently come into your home and create routines for them. Okay, pause. Y'all, we are in full-blown planner season prep mode over here. I am so freaking excited about the 2024 paper collection. I am really proud of what we created this year. And when I gave y'all a sneak peek on Instagram, the Hustle Sandy Instagram, we gave a little sneak peek of the planner covers for 2024. You guys were just as excited as me, and it makes me so happy. Every year, I put up a poll on my Instagram stories asking for feedback on what you guys would like to see for the next paper collection, and I took some feedback that we've been getting for a while, like a couple years now, and made some pretty big changes based on what a lot of you guys have been asking for. So the first change that we made is the size. So many of you expressed that you missed the size of our OG paper planner, the very first one that we released back in 2020. Well, we didn't go back to quite that small, but we did make the planner smaller than they have been the last 2 years. After using the samples for a while now, because I've been using the samples, I'm obsessed. And I just know you guys are going to love this new size. And I do think that you guys are also going to be excited about the fact that we have a daily planner dropping. It might not be what you think. It's actually an undated quarterly planner. So it's got 3 months worth of undated pages in there. But the cool thing is it's got a quarterly planning spread, a monthly planning spread for each of the 3 months, and then a weekly spread for each week that's part of the quarter, and a daily page for each day of the quarter. So we had a yearly daily planner a few years ago, but it was too thick. It legit felt like a textbook. So this felt like a good compromise for those of you asking for a daily planner. Plus, some people realistically don't use their planners every day, or they don't find our planners until like March or April. So this is perfect for people like that, right? You can start it whenever you want. Another thing that I want to say is we simplified the journal format. I've been sharing little sneak peeks on my Instagram stories because I have been using the journal for the last quarter. And I'm obsessed. Like, truly, I am obsessed. So, all this to say, if you haven't joined the waitlist for the 2024 collection yet, get on it, because planners have sold out by January for the last 4 years. Like, and I think this is going to be our most popular line yet, because the products are just so stunning, so elevated, so intentional, and I'm so proud of them. So I will have a link for you to join the waitlist in the show notes. It's jessicamassey.com/2024, but make sure you go sign up for the waitlist so that you can have the most peacefully productive 2024. But let's get back into the episode. Tip number 3 to make your home manageable to maintain is have a home for everything. This is not rocket science, and I'm sure you've heard this before. It's easier to keep your home tidy when everything has a spot to live. If it doesn't, that's when stuff starts sitting randomly on counters and towers of random stuff start piling up in the corners of your home. If something isn't being used, know where it goes and have a routine in place to get it there. So I want to share 3, and I'm putting this in air quotes, homes for stuff that I have in our house that might be helpful for you too. The first home that I want to share is called outgoing area. So earlier when I was talking about decluttering and how I have a pile for stuff that needs to be rehomed, I told you that I'd circle back and share how I do this. So we have a bar area that's near our front door, and it kind of butts up to our kitchen counter. There's a little corner that's mostly hidden there, and that is where I keep things that are being rehomed. So I have a cute little basket there that holds the random stuff that needs to be given to someone. It's out of direct sight, but it's easy for me to see when I'm going to the bar to get out my car keys and my sunnies, which triggers me to grab anything out of the bin if I know I'm going to see the person who it's going to as I'm leaving. So for example, like right now, I think the only thing in there is a pack of diapers. We have a pack of newborn diapers. We obviously do not need them, and we have friends who are about to have a baby. And so next time I see her, I'm going to deliver those diapers to her. Last week we had in there a cookie sheet from my mother-in-law because she baked cookies and brought them over, and then I needed to give her back the cookie sheet, so I had that in there. So those kinds of things are what live in the outgoing area. The next home for stuff that I want to share is our mail area, and I briefly mentioned this one earlier too. On our kitchen counter, I have this little like round rattan placemat thing where there's a potted plant, and behind that plant is where I keep our mail that needs needs to be acted on. So before, we just kind of leave the mail sitting on the corner of the kitchen counter, just kind of spread out, and it looked and felt really cluttery. So I got that little placemat so that we knew this is where the mail goes. Like, this is the mail's home. It's a visual reminder for us to not scatter the mail all over the counter. It's a home for the mail. It looks way nicer than it did before. So that is the second home that I want to share with you. The third home idea that I want to share with you is my closet donation bag. So I mentioned this earlier too. When I told you about my rule for a piece of clothing in like when I'm like close in, close out. So like if I buy something new, something has to go out of the closet. So to keep this simple, I have an ongoing donation bag that lives in our closet. So I can just toss stuff in there if I know I'm getting rid of it, but it's not time for our quarterly declutter yet. So when it's time for the quarterly declutter, I just take that bag and I add, like, that is the bag that I use to like get started with my donation collection, if that makes sense. So I just keep that bag in our closet. Is it the prettiest thing in the world? No. But it's very functional and nobody sees it but Adam and I, because we have a walk-in closet, so nobody's like going up in there but us. You know what I'm saying? Maybe someday I'll get like a cute little bin to keep in there to get rid of stuff. But for now, the trash bag in there, it just works. So again, this tip is to make sure that everything in your home has a home. And if it doesn't, create one. So that is tip number three. Tip number four, use habit triggers and routines to make cleaning a part of your day instead of a separate event. Okay, so this does not work for everyone, but it really works for me in this season. So I wanted to include it. I don't really have designated cleaning days anymore like I used to. Instead, I use triggers and routines to weave cleaning into my day-to-day without even thinking about it. So if y'all haven't picked up on this, I am a routine lover because routines create so much space in my life. It drives me nuts when people argue that routines are rigid and strip you of creativity and spontaneity, because that's just not true. If so, that just means your routine, it's not supporting your season. Like, that's a you need to fix your routine problem, not a problem with routines in general. So when created in a supportive way, routines save us time, energy, and brain power. We're not stressing out about when things are going to get done because we have them getting done built into our lives without having to think about it. That is the beauty of routines. So I want to talk about habit triggers really quick. I first heard about them from James Clear. He's the author of Atomic Habits, and he defines a habit trigger as an event that will kick off that automatic urge to do a habit. So I'll explain how I use them by sharing some specific home routines that I have in place to help me keep my home manageable. So I have quite a few routines that I'm going to share, so get ready to listen. The first routine that I have in place to help keep my home manageable is my morning spruce routine. So this takes me like 5 minutes, and I do it when I get home from the gym usually. So I pick up the dog bowls from their breakfast because they're just like on the floor from when they got breakfast. I get our essential oil diffusers going. I Swiffer the floor because the dogs slobber all over the floor when they eat their breakfast. And then I fluff up our living room couch from the evening before. So that is my morning spruce routine. I do that pretty much every morning when I get home from the gym. And like I said, it takes me 5 minutes or less. Like, it takes hardly any time at all. The next routine that I want to share with you is my evening reset routine. So I went over this one in detail a few weeks ago in the episode where I shared 5 routines keeping me sane as a new mom. I'll link that episode in the show notes if you want to hear in detail how this routine works. But a quick overview: the nights that Adam is not working, he gives Everly a bath. While he is giving her a bath, I go into her room and I wipe down her playmat and her changing table. I restock her wipes and diapers if they need to be, and I take out the diaper pail if it's full. I also get her diffuser going for the night. We diffuse Seedlings Calm by Young Living in her room at bedtime. But if Adam is working and I am doing bath time, I just have Everly in her bouncer in her room while I do these things. Then I give her a bath after. Now that she sleeps in her own room, I like that stuff to be done before she gets out of the bath, because we are very big, very big on her bedtime routine. I really think that's why she's been sleeping through the night since she was 8 weeks old, is because of the solid bedtime routine that we created. But I want her room to be peaceful and good to go when we bring her in there after her bath. to put on her PJs, have her last bottle, and read her bedtime story. Like, I don't want me to be like scurrying around cleaning while she's trying to like unwind and get ready for bed. So after we or I get Everly to sleep, which is usually around 7:30, I go into the kitchen and I reset her bottle area. I clean all the bottles from the day. We have a little container that sits in one side of our sink where we put used bottles throughout the day. Then I refill the baby Brezza, which is basically like a Keurig for bottles. It's amazing. I refill the water reservoir. I add in more formula if it needs it. And then I clean the little like spout thing that is a part of it. Lastly, I go into her bathroom and just wipe down the tub and put her bath stuff under the sink. All of that takes me around 10 minutes to do, maybe 12 minutes if I have to do the diaper pail, but it saves me so much mental stress the next morning. I am always so grateful to wake up with everything ready to go for the day, and it really does make my mornings more peaceful, so totally worth the 10 minutes that it takes. The next routine that I want to share with you is my weekly home reset routine. I have talked a lot about this on Instagram, and I actually have a whole podcast episode all about it. I do my weekly home reset routine on Fridays. I can't remember what podcast episode number it is that I talk about this, but I'll link it in the show notes for you guys. And that episode explains, like, it's only on this routine. Like, it's a whole episode dedicated to this. So I'll put that link in the show notes for you. But that episode teaches you how to create your own weekly home reset routine. And then I share mine in detail. But really quick, I'll give you an overview of what I do on Fridays as part of my weekly home reset routine. I tidy all the rooms. So I basically just do like a scan of the house and see like, okay, does anything need to be like quickly tidied? I water all the plants. I wash all of our bedding. I empty all of the trash bins. And then we do like our meal planning. And I'm putting that in quotes. Like, it's very, we don't really do like heavy meal planning. Adam is in charge of meals here. And we mostly just do a lot of it on the fly. But we're like, okay, what kind of dinners are we in the mood for? Like, we kind of just chat through it. And we order groceries, which I do that. So that is the next routine that I want to share with you guys that kind of helps keep our home manageable. And then I have two more things that I want to share as a part of this one. So our laundry system, which I use triggers to help with my laundry system. So my system for laundry, which I shared in the episode that I already mentioned, 5 Routines Keeping Me Sane as a New Mom, is doing a small load of laundry every day. I started this routine when I became a mom because having a baby created way more laundry than when it was just Adam and I. So a load of laundry every single day can sound intense, but I promise you it's not. At least it's not to me. I would way rather spend 10 minutes a day doing a load of laundry than an entire day working my way through a mountain of laundry. Like, that's a no for me. So here is how I use triggers within my laundry system. So when I get home from the gym in the morning, trigger, that's the trigger, because I don't have to think about it. Hopefully I always get home from the gym. I gather all the dirty clothes and put them in the washer. I go take my shower and get ready for the day. By the time I'm done getting ready, trigger, I don't have to think about getting ready for the day. It's automatic. So that automatic habit, that automatic thing triggers me to put the clothes into the dryer. Then when Adam is cooking dinner, trigger, we don't have to think about him cooking dinner. He just cooks dinner every day. I usually fold the laundry. Or sometimes if I have like a slower work day, which to be honest does not happen very often, I'll fold the laundry when I pause to eat lunch. So it never feels like a big deal or a burden because, like I said, it takes me 10 minutes or less to do since the loads are so small, since we're doing one every day. It feels manageable, whereas having one big laundry day just does not feel manageable to me at all. The key with using triggers is to attach what needs to be done with something that's already ingrained in you as a habit. So that's whenever I was explaining the laundry system. Like I said, I don't have to think about getting home from the gym. We don't have to think about Adam cooking dinner. I don't have to think about getting ready for the day. They're just things that are naturally a part of our days. So that's the key with using triggers, is attaching what you want to do to something that you don't have to think about doing. So I'm going to share my dishes system next. The way that we manage dishes in our home is by doing them as we use them so that nothing gets backed up. If we use a pot or a pan to make something, we clean it when we're done and then rinse everything else and pop it in the dishwasher. Takes 5 minutes or less. Unless we have a big dinner, then maybe it takes 10 minutes. And we don't ever have to worry about having a mountain of dishes in the sink. Any night that the dishwasher is full, I run it after cleaning up from dinner, which is the trigger because I don't have to think about cleaning up from dinner. We just do it. Then when I wake up in the morning, I'll unload the dishwasher first thing, like before I make my coffee, so that it's done. It takes like 5 to 7 minutes, depending on how big of a load it is. So it's not that big of a deal at all. And if you're curious, I would say that we probably run the dishwasher 2, maybe 3 times a week. So the last routine that I'm going to share with you is my monthly deep clean. Now, this is a routine that I've outsourced since having a baby. We have someone come in once a month to do a deep clean. She wipes down the baseboards, the door frames, scrubs our tub and shower, cleans out the oven, you know, like deep clean kind of things. Having someone come once a month keeps these areas from getting really nasty. And it also means that I don't have to worry about them during my daily tidy for 15, which, okay, that is the end of tip number 4, is use habit triggers and routines to make cleaning a part of your day instead of a whole separate event. And so tip number 5, y'all know this one's coming. Use daily HS5 tidy for 15. So if you're new around here, HS5 stands for Hustle Sanely 5. And HS5 is a list of 5 intentional habits that the Hustle Sanely community does every day. And one of these 5 habits is tidy for 15. Now, this is how I don't have a designated cleaning day anymore. I pick an area of our house each day and I spend 15 minutes tidying and cleaning that area. I've said this before, but you would be shocked at how much you can get done if you set a timer for 15 minutes and just focus on something. So here is what my tidy for 15 schedule looks like in this season. Monday, I do our primary bedroom and bathroom. Tuesday, I do our guest bathroom and the laundry room. Wednesdays, I do our kitchen. Thursdays, I do my office and the nursery. Friday is when I do my home reset routine. Saturday is when I do the living and the dining room. Now, I usually do my tidy for 15 during one of Everly's nap times. And if it's a day that I have work, I usually do it either right before I start work or right after I finish work. So I did not list Sundays because I practice Sabbath or a day of rest on Sundays. And I'm a potato. I don't do anything. Before adopting HS5 Tidy for 15, I had a cleaning day every week where I would spend like 2 to 3 hours cleaning the whole house at one time, usually on the weekend. I prefer the daily tidy for 15 so much more. Like, it just works better for me with the daily tidy for 15 and having like all of the routines that I mentioned in tip 4 in place. Like, I feel like I don't need to dedicate a day of my weekend to cleaning. I do have an older episode from last February that walks you through my cleaning routine, including how I use Tidy for 15 in more detail. I'll link that episode in the show notes for y'all if you want to go back and listen or re-listen to that one. It's one of our most popular episodes, which is wild to me. But some things have shifted since I'm a mom now, but the gist of that episode is still the same. And that is what I've got for y'all today. I feel like this was a long one. How I make my home manageable to maintain. As I'm sure you noticed, I'm a big fan of weaving habits and routines into my life to keep my home tidy and manageable so that I hardly ever have to dedicate a big chunk of time tackling anything. Like I said, it works really well for me, and I can truly say that I don't spend brain power wondering how or when things are going to get done. Cleaning and tidying, it doesn't stress me out thanks to that. I don't feel like I'm constantly cleaning or picking up all day because I have these routines just built into how I live my life. And our home is never a big mess because these routines just keep things flowing. So I hope that this episode was helpful and that it left you feeling equipped to put some of this stuff into practice in your own home. home. That's something that we've been talking about in the BFF membership a lot, not just passively listening to the podcast, but actually choosing one to two things from each episode to implement in your life, because that is what is going to help you create a peacefully productive life, putting these things into practice. You know what I mean? But anyway, I love you so much. Thank you for tuning in. I will talk to y'all next week, and I hope you have the best day ever. I so appreciate you tuning in to today's show. I hope that it blessed you right where you're at. If you did enjoy it, take a screenshot of the episode and share it on your Instagram story along with your biggest takeaway. Make sure you tag me at Jess M. Massey so I can see it and share it on my story too. Your feedback is such an encouragement to me, and it helps the show more than you will ever know. If you want more Hustle Sanely in your life, head on over to jessicamassey.com. It's actually my favorite place to hang out online. I'll meet you right back here next week. And until then, keep hustling sanely.